G'day, Robin. How are you?
Good, thanks, Jesse. How are you, mate?
Super duper, mate. Thanks so much for being on the Happy Days podcast, mate. Really appreciate it.
I'm delighted to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
Mate, it is an absolute pleasure and an honour, mate. We'll get stuck straight into it, mate. I've got you on here because you guys are hosting something absolutely incredible that has got me all kinds of interested and curious, as many will be, and that is Neighbourhood Earth, which is an incredible space exhibition. And I'd love to just get you to give us the lowdown on what it's all about.
Yeah, so an old friend of mine and a colleague, Declan McMonagall, he started, he was in the exhibition space for a really long time. In fact, we've known each other for 20 years. He's a projection artist and a technician. And he, for a long time, was touring around with the Van Gogh live shows that you're probably familiar with. He was putting them into various cities in Europe. So he ended up approaching the US Space and Rocket Center in 2017 and pitched this immersive cinema experience to them. And they said, yep, we'd love to have it. And that's when Neighbourhood Earth was born, which is our exhibition. And what the US Space and Rocket Center did is they added some artifacts to populate the show, and we essentially built a show from there. And then he was able to take it through, he did a bit of a mini tour in the US and then took it through China. And that's when the pandemic hit, and unfortunately got locked up in a container in China until we had to wait for the pandemic to finish. And then we brought it to Australia, and we've done a season in Sydney, Melbourne, and now we're doing a season in Brisbane.
That's fantastic. And how are you guys enjoying the experience, like from conception to construction to just seeing people walking around, just loving it?
Mate, it's been really great. What we realized, a big part of my job too when I work with Declan, is one of the things we found in Melbourne was we didn't feel like we had a strong enough narrative or story for people to appreciate what we had, because we know what we've got is really good. So we worked really hard to make sure that when we brought it into Brisbane, that it would tell a more compelling story. The other thing is the challenge we had coming into Brisbane was we're coming into an old Coles at the bottom of lower ground Queens Plaza. So that just made it quite difficult in terms of managing how we got it in. But we got it in. You were a big part of that.
Yes.
You're a member of our team that helped us get it through some pretty tricky situations. And then we built the show. And look, so far it's fantastic. It's been really well received. We've only just opened, but we're getting some great reviews. We've had really good feedback from people who've come through. Brisbane's a fantastic city. I mean, it's really made for it. And one other thing to add is we partnered with Gilmour Space Technologies, who are a rocket manufacturer on the Gold Coast. And they've been exceptional in lending us, or loaning us, pieces of equipment that have both exploded or actually are perfectly preserved that they use in their technology to get satellites up into orbit. So to have that added benefit of Australian key artifacts, but from a Queensland-based company, just makes it even more special.
Oh, 100%, mate. It really is, like, from a first-hand experience, just helping you guys construct it and just watching it all come together. It really is a thing of beauty. I really strongly urge more people to go check out. It just looks fantastic and so much fun.
Yeah, I mean, thanks for that. I mean, it was great having you on board too, because you're a massive space enthusiast. You'd been to the US Space and Rocket Center in Alabama, so that immediately was a connection that we, you know, on day one I learned, and I was like, well, that's a pretty auspicious sign, you know, that one of our crew members is right up for understanding what we're doing.
Yep.
And yeah, look, it's great. And the other thing to remember is we're a really small Australian outfit. So, to have the trust and responsibility of touring these artifacts from the US Space and Rocket Center is a real treat. To do that for Australian audiences is really great. And the key thing with the exhibition is, you know, we really drive the fact that there's a lot to learn about what we've done in space.
Yep.
And one of the key story elements to what we're showing or displaying with our exhibition is the story of the multitude of satellites we've launched and the International Space Station and the challenges in terms of getting it up and the missions that they're on and what they're doing for us. So, it's great.
Yeah, it's phenomenal, man. Like, I think it's incredible that we in Australia have the opportunity to experience things like this, because, I mean, in America, obviously, and probably even in Europe as well, you know, they're very privileged to be able to, you know, easily access seeing this stuff up close, whereas here in Australia, it's a little bit more challenging. So I think it's really important that what you and Declan are doing, it's vital to Australian audiences, especially for young people, kids in school trying to figure out their path in life, that I find that that's incredibly inspiring what you guys are doing. And yeah, I tip my hat to you guys.
I really appreciate that. I think a key point you raised there too is that the space industry is set to triple in the next 10 years, quite considerable speed. And the thing about that is, you know, someone like Gilmour Space Technologies based on the Gold Coast, you know, they're making a rocket to launch in 2023.
That's amazing.
We have an Australian space industry, but like you say, we don't have a great deal of exposure to it. So, you know, our job in the entertainment industry with this exhibition in particular is to perhaps be a little bit of a conduit between industry, you know?
Yeah.
It's wonderful that we can do this for an Australian audience, for certain. That's something we really take pride in too.
Absolutely, and so you should. Do you feel that that it's pretty open in terms of the age, like, you know, with the younger kids, like kids as, you know, young as 3 and 4 can come and experience this, you know, without any dramas?
Oh, that's a great question, and thanks for asking it. Look. We open the demographic, as in we have an open policy. Like, we'd love everyone to come and see it. It probably does suit ages 6 and up, I would say. You know, parents in particular with kids can be there to explain.
Absolutely. Anything
that seems a bit technical.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are things for kids to have a good time with. You know, but I guess also, you know, if you're a parent with a 3 or 4 year old, you want to be able to take them out. You can do it. You can take them out. You can bring them through. But it would definitely suit 6 and up to enjoy the show. You know, anyone who's an adult or just a space enthusiast, this show is definitely for you, because we have a lot of key information and interactions that that can be enjoyed. I mean, a key demographic for us is school kids. We get a lot of kids who are really enthused to learn about space. They're probably learning it at school at the moment, or you know, young teenagers, young adults who are keen to explore that a bit further. So, you know, we do tend to appeal across quite a wide bandwidth of ages. But I would certainly say, look, 6 and up, I mean, anyone's welcome. We'd love kids to come along. There's a couple of things for kids most definitely to have a bit of a hoot and a laugh with, because we've got some fun interactives as well.
Oh, cool.
But it is driven, you know, at the end of the day, space can be technical and the information can be overwhelming. So, you know, 6 and onwards, I think, is really good.
Yeah, that's great, man. That's I think it's really important for people to know that. And it's great that, you know, school kids are coming in and taking a vested interest as well. Because like you say, it's here in Australia, you know, probably a lot of kids probably scratch their heads and go, oh, you know, they're not sure what they want to do in life. And I mean, I myself, you know, I just woke, you know, I grew up with stars in my eyes and wanted to chase the stars. So it's great to know that more kids want to do that sort of thing and possibly follow a career in space exploration. So that's why it's really cool that you guys are doing things like what you're doing and showing things like the ISS, space station and even like some of the spacesuits. I'd love you to sort of give us a quick insight in the some of the really interesting spacesuits you've got on display as well.
Yeah, well, that's actually a good point. And I should say too, to everyone listening, the exhibition starts with a cinema experience of around 20 minutes. That's really important, because what that cinema experience does is it actually sets up the rest of the exhibition.
Right.
So what we do is we address some of the key satellite missions and the key missions that has got us into space and has allowed us to learn about our planets and our solar system. And that's a really fun and easy and enjoyable video to watch. It is it's simple in terms of the information, yet the information is critical and important to acknowledge and understand. And then the rest of the exhibition starts to fill in the detail of that cinema experience. So that's how it begins, and that's why the journey works really well. We have two spacesuits in particular on display. We have the Apollo A7, which is the famous white spacesuit that you see in various Apollo missions. They actually had multiple generations of that suit, I believe. And so we have that on display. It's a replica. It's not an actual spacesuit, but it's a very, very good approximation from the US Space and Rocket Center. We also have what is very unique is a prototype from Mars. And the Mars prototype suit is just an example of the differences required to get to Mars. And we have a whole lot of key information on that when you come and see it. But that's pretty exciting. So they developed probably a few prototypes, but this one in particular is the I forget what it's called now. It's got a code for it, and I haven't got that at hand.
No, it's okay. Having seen it up close, but it's incredibly impressive to look at. Was that a difficult piece to obtain for the exhibition?
No, they were very willing to give that to us, particularly because we do have a focus on Mars. Mm-hmm. And but you're right, it's not something you would commonly see. So I mean,
no, not at all.
That's one of the advantages I guess we have for being able to display it. And we have a replica of the Mars Ingenuity helicopter, which was only launched in 2021 and did make a successful flight. So we have a replica of that, and we talk a little bit about that in the cinema as well. So,
cool.
We sort of tie together the key. One of the things we do is we explore the lunar exploration and the Mars exploration as a kind of past, present, and future. We look at them side by side in the exhibition, and that's a great way to see the differences and changes in technology.
That's incredible. Because as a space enthusiast myself, and there are many of us out there that love space and travel, over the years, in more recent years, we've been a bit perhaps perplexed by lack of information about what's happening. All we know is, we hear Elon Musk, we hear SpaceX, we hear China's launching rockets. We don't hear things like, say, 20 years ago, the glory days of the space shuttle, heading up into space any of those famous missions. So, where do you as an enthusiast yourself and exhibitionist, where do you see where we stand in planet Earth with space exploration today?
Well, I mean, if you take, for instance, the fact that Australia, has this Gilmore Space Technologies based on the Gold Coast doing this rocket manufacturing, you'd think, well, Australia was never in the conversation other than producing great engineers and key consultants and, fantastic personnel. But in terms of significant aerospace manufacturing, I don't think we've necessarily been a big player. I think that's indicative that every country is looking at this right now. Mm. So my feeling is that it's becoming more and more a key part of our progress. I think what's interesting is they successfully landed that satellite onto a meteor in space recently. And
that's incredible.
And, there's two purposes for that. There is deflecting the meteor from its potential to hit Earth. That was an experiment to prove that and change its trajectory, but also the potential to mine important minerals, key minerals that seem to be part of our technology. That'll be a massive economic driver. So, we'll see more and more the importance of mining off-world. We'll see more and more the importance of, policing and lawmaking and law-abiding kind of breakdowns of how we deal with outer space exploration. Mm-hmm. The other thing we have to be aware of is the military is somewhat intrinsically woven into space exploration as well.
Of course,
tend to play a role. So, that's also a driver for getting into space. Getting to Mars is a funny one. Personally, I'm neither here nor there whether it's a good thing or a bad thing. I just think it'll happen. I just think it'll happen. And I think there's something to be said about doing that from the point of view of it's quite a significant achievement, potentially.
Of course.
I just don't know if I'd put my hand up to do it.
I had aspirations in doing that as a kid, and I was kind of kind of glad I held off on that for various reasons. But it's interesting you brought up about the satellite landing on the comet, because I did read about that and I was all kinds of fascinated with that. If I could ask you a bit more about that, just what your understanding of it is, because a lot of us probably don't know about the interest in comets, and we probably don't think about comets because, let's face it, we live in an age where our media is basically just blanketing us with everything here on Earth that's really irrelevant and straying our attention away from the bigger threat, which is usually the comets that have been known in recent years to come dramatically close to our atmosphere.
Yes.
And I think it's great that we're sending probes up to explore how we can divert these things off their course, but also, like you say, the minerals that are on these things, it opens up a whole new can of worms for us, doesn't it?
Well, I think the thing, that's it. There's kind of two key factors. The sad thing is, you know, deflecting the trajectory of a meteor is just unfortunately falling to a research-based group of people, and probably as that Netflix film talks about, or makes fun of, doesn't necessarily concern big industry, because there's this kind of pretense that we'll never get hit, when in actual fact the Earth has proven many times, that we've been hit, and it's created entire transformations in the atmosphere and what happens with evolution. But interestingly, why it's probably coupled, it's coupled together with the fact that from an economical standpoint, rare minerals, is something of value. So, if it can bolt on the back of that, then great, fine. Let's find a way to keep that on our radar, because it is important, because if we're hit by anything quite significant, we're gone, it can really, really affect our atmosphere. The particles get thrown up into the air and, you get cloud formations, you get fine dust, you level flights, you get sun, solar, we stop getting sun being able to come through effectively.
Yeah.
There's a whole manner of challenges and issues that we would sustain from the Earth. So if we can get them up there, study the potential rare minerals we can mine, then great. But the other problem is who has the rights to which meteor or comet, and who has the rights to be able to do that? Eventually the moon might be mined. We just don't know.
Right.
Do we know the implications of that? Who has the rights to it? Is it North America? Is it China? Is it Russia? We just don't know.
Yeah. That's interesting, man. That's a whole lengthy conversation that we could go on for hours about, because there's all kinds of various wormholes you can go into with that, and it's fascinating stuff. But in regards back to the exhibition, for you personally, what's a couple of the great aspects of the exhibition that always puts a smile on your face when you see it come to fruition?
Oh, thanks. Yeah, good question. Look, for me, coming out of the cinema experience, we have a section called the Corridor of the Solar System. And what I love is coming around the corner, and in the distance, we've got a 3D projected image of the sun, quite a large projection of the sun.
Yeah.
And then along the wall, we have all these beautiful models made by a model maker out of the US Space and Rocket Center. And those models are of the various satellite missions, and they're associated with the various planets that they've explored to provide data. And just seeing it in context of the sun in the distance, the way we've presented it in I think it's really great, because you get a sense of the scale and the achievement of what these satellites have done.
Mm-hmm.
Because the film sets that up, and the film does it in a beautiful cinematic way. But then to come and see the models and sort of see them and get a bit more detail and information. And then we have these hologram units where essentially we have a touch screen, and then I can choose a planet or a satellite by pressing on these various buttons on the machines. And we have a sort of 3D holographic image above. It's small and it's neat. It's quite neat looking, but it gives you a sense of a 3D image. And you can rotate planets, all the various satellites that have gone to that planet, and look at the way that they were, designed and the shape of them, but also get more information from that. So it's doubling down on what the cinema presented and realizing what these missions have done and what year they were launched, you know, what information they're gathering, how difficult it is to get the information back to Earth. I really like that. I really, that particular section really enthuses me.
Yeah.
We've got those two spacesuits, as you said, but we've got a lot more models in that area as well. And then we've got a replica of the ISS, which gives you a sense of scale. So good.
Yeah.
And then we have the whole interactive section where you can rocket, you can launch rockets, you can get a sense of what it takes to get a satellite to spin around the Earth. We have weight bags that give you a feeling for what weight, a certain weight would feel on different planets. So we've got, you know, we've got the aspects to the exhibition, which then, you know, there's a physical learning aspect as well, not just reading. And we work hard to create interactivity as well.
Yeah, that's brilliant. That sounds so exciting. And yeah, I mean, I back you up 100%. Having had a bit of a walkthrough, and it just looks nothing like out of this world, to use a pun, you know.
Yeah.
With the I won't hold you up too long. But with the cinema experience, just to get a bit lighthearted here, the narrative for that. Have you guys, you know, if you ever run in the weeds with a narrator, I know in movie productions they've used Morgan Freeman to do a voice for for Earth and stuff, for some of those really cool docos. For you guys, have you considered someone like Kamal maybe to do a voice for space?
Well, we were very close to approaching Hugo Weaving.
No way.
Well, because he's a friend of ours. That's well, he's amazing. A friend of a friend, but he's very hard to get.
Sure.
And the challenge for us too is, and quite rightfully for the likes of Hugo Weaving, is that they cost a lot of money, you know, because they're super high profile. So, we've managed to get a really good friend of ours who's an actor. Tony Cogan is his name, out of Sydney.
Yeah. Yep.
And he's friends with Hugo as a theatre actor.
Mm-hmm.
And Tony's been great to support us. I mean, we've paid him for the work, but he's also looked after us as well. And, you know, we focused on getting Tony to do a sort of neutral accent, so it gives us a bit of flexibility. But for instance, if we go to various different countries of different languages, we've got to look at, local language alternatives.
Of course, yeah.
When it comes to an exhibition, the main thing is that the information, you know, we want the voice to be impressive.
Yes.
But we also wanted to communicate the information really clearly.
Yeah.
But we certainly don't have the budget necessarily that you can get for one of the, you know, for those amazing documentaries that you see.
Well, yeah, of course. Yeah. I just thought of someone like Kamal, because I thought the documentary with Morgan Freeman, you know, that deep, warm, timber resonating voice. And Kamal is just that, why are people so unkind?
Yeah.
Deep voice. It's a bit of a light moment there for me to bring that one up. But, I love the idea of this exhibition, and I love also looking on the website that the prices for tickets are very accommodating for families and adults and the curious alike. I think that's amazing that you guys have kept it, financially accessible for all audiences.
Yeah, look, we worked hard on that. We'd still love to sell it cheaper if we could, but there comes a point where, you know, it becomes cost prohibitive. So
absolutely,
we are where we are, but you're right, and really appreciate that. We're very aware of how difficult it is to get out and, you know, and go and see something. So we've kept everything reasonable.
I love it. And you've shown this exhibition around the country already, which is brilliant in itself, and even taken this to China. Do you, in the future, are you looking towards, you know, more countries overseas?
Yeah, we are. Well, we're still looking to keep going in Australia. We'd love to, you know, keep up the national tour.
Absolutely.
But we've got interest from Pennsylvania in the US, and that's looking very likely that we'll get back to the United States with the show at some point. That's ongoing negotiation at the moment. We haven't locked in or firmed in dates, but it'll be in 2023 sometime. So we do intend to get back there. We would hope to run a subsidiary show, you know, continue to work on running a second show in Australia, and to keep developing an Australian narrative, see if we can partner with more and more Australian space agencies to tell a uniquely Australian story.
Yeah, I think that's important.
Yeah. And look, the title of the exhibition is Neighborhood Earth. And the reason is because we like, you know, the whole purpose of the exhibition is exploring our neighborhood. And that's present, as you can tell with the exhibition, in terms of all the various satellites that have explored our planets and so forth. So, you know, that's a great theme, and that's, you know, but, you know, as we move forward, we may explore different aspects of space as well.
Yeah.
Neighborhood Earth. Yeah. So the title for Neighborhood Earth, it had to do with the fact that a lot of the story of our exhibition is related to the achievements we've made with technology and getting satellites into space, the International Space Station into space, and exploring our immediate neighborhood, our solar system. That's where the wonderful title Neighborhood Earth comes from. So if we were looking to tour a show through Australia again, or continue touring through Australia, we're looking to evolve that story and look at the Australian perspective. But yes, that's where we came up with that name.
I love it. Well, Robin, I won't hold you up any longer, mate. I really appreciate the time you've given to talk about this exhibition, and I'll put a link in the description for people to get tickets to the event. Any last words about the exhibition before we go?
Jesse, thank you so much for having me on. It was a real pleasure working with you as well.
And, 100%.
And look, the exhibition is taking place up until February 5th, I think, is when it closes. Mm-hmm. At the moment, we're not open on a Monday or a Tuesday. And that just gives us a bit of time to recalibrate. But when we get to the school holidays, we'll be open just about every day.
That's brilliant, mate. Well, thank you so much, Robin. I really appreciate it. And send my best regards to Declan. And good luck with the exhibition, mate.
Thanks, champion. It's been a real pleasure. And thanks to your audience for listening.
No worries. Thank you, mate. Take care.
Bye.